Off the coast of Florida, there are around 8 species of shark enjoying the same warm waters that attract thousands of tourists every year. But that doesn't mean you should give swimming a miss. According to Gary Violetta from SeaWorld in Orlando, where they're conducting extensive shark research, although there are some dangerous sharks, attacks are very, very rare.
The ones that are most dangerous are the bull shark. It's a large shark, upwards of 10, 12 feet long, very girthy animal. That shark is noted for an attack, and usually there's a fatality involved just because of the sheer size of the animal. Fortunately, that's extremely rare. The shark that you probably see the most bites from is called a black-tip shark, and they're the ones that are, you see them constantly up and down the coast, and if you're just to get bit by a shark, my guess would be 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a black-tip. And my other guess would be that you were probably standing in the middle of its food. So while you were waiting in the water or sitting on your surfboard, chances are there was probably a school of fish or something swimming close by, and as that shark was swimming through it, it mistook your foot or your leg or something like that for a fish. Because what will happen, these animals will bite, they realize this isn't what I wanted, and they'll swim away. So there's usually only one bite involved. If you're lucky, it may just lacerate the skin a little bit. If you're unlucky, you know, it could possibly cut a major artery. That way you need help very, very quickly. Worldwide, there are probably close to upwards of 100 shark attacks, not fatalities, but attacks worldwide. And probably of that 100, we probably do maybe 50 on the Florida coast.
And how threatened are the sharks around Florida? Or are they actually quite comfortable here?
They're fairly threatened, in all honesty. Shark populations have decreased significantly over the years, and you can tell that probably by the amount of sharks that local fishermen and recreational fishermen are catching. You just don't see the type of sharks that they were catching 30, 40, 50 years ago. It's kind of hard to quantify that because they take up such a large span. It's hard to say that, well, you know, we had so many sharks 40 years ago, now we have this much less. It's more anecdotal information than anything else. But they definitely are decreasing. There are laws, both federal and state laws in the state of Florida, that restrict the size of some sharks, the number of sharks you can catch, and the species of shark that you can catch. Some of the species that we have in the shark encounter, like the sand tiger shark, we need to have permits for those animals. And another species that we have in there, the sawfish shark, they were just listed last April, I believe it was, as endangered animals.
And like the UK, is humans hunting them? Is that their biggest problem?
Yes, that's part of the problem, is the commercial fishing, and that has been limited by law to so many metric tons. And that seems still odd to me when you say they can only catch 5,300 metric tons of animal. That's a lot of animals. But a lot of that, too, goes back to habitat destruction, because a lot of times female sharks come into certain nursing areas where they will swim out and then the pups have a chance to grow. But if you're doing development, stuff like that, you can easily change that type of nursing area where that is, it's no longer good for growing sharks out.
So what sort of work do you do at SeaWorld to look after the sharks?
We do a lot with education of the public. We've got a tour called the Predators Tour where people can go and look at the different predators there are, including the sharks. They can talk about how many sharks are destroyed every year by man and compare that to other numbers. For instance, we've got a graphic up that shows that there are, I think it's like 250 people die every year by deer, but people kill about 100 million sharks a year. So it kind of tries to put everything into perspective. And we also are involved with research with different universities that will do everything from growth study records, how fast and how large the animals grow, to where these animals actually breed and where they come back to lay their eggs or give birth.
How successful do you think your work has been over the last decade?
Well, I think between the universities involved, the government organizations, the educational programs, I think we're making a dent into it. The biggest thing that I saw was a couple of years ago in the United States, there was an attack along our west coast, and it was very sad because a young boy lost a limb. It made news all over the United States, and before we knew it, this was like the summer of the shark. And we were just getting inundated with just media all over the place. But what was interesting to me about it was when we first started talking about it, it was all shark attack and all this kind of sensationalism more than anything. Near the end of this whole thing, we noticed that the media had kind of taken a kind of a different route now, and were spouting off different facts about the chances of shark attack and the chances of encountering a shark and the reasons for it and the fact that their numbers are dwindling and all this stuff. So it took a whole different turn. So we could see at that point the education process was really taking over.
That's Gary Violetta from SeaWorld.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth and business experts when it suits you. This service is free. Register now at passionfortheplanet.com.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.